Welcome to the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. I'm your host, Danielle Calabrese, CPG advisor and now founder of It's All Happening, an agency that helps brands with launch strategy. Tune in as we break down ways that successful female entrepreneurs are using to build their businesses. You'll hear stories of the people who make shit happen, overcoming struggles and celebrating the wins. We cover how brands are taking products to market, tactics that work, things that have failed, and just lessons learned from out in the field. Whether you're looking for inspiration, industry secrets, or launching a brand, this is the place. Hey, everyone. I just hung up with Emma Whedon, who is the founder of Emma Snacks, an LA-based snack brand that just launched a chocolate-covered potato chip made with kettle-cooked chips and high-quality, just really thoughtfully sourced ingredients. She started the company while working a full-time job, and she's really building it from the ground up through grassroots sampling, organic marketing, and just early retail partnerships. She is focused on refining indulgent snacking with a premium modern approach. So she's so committed to super high quality ingredients, which I, of course, really appreciate. And I have to say, you guys, this product is so freaking good. It really is absolutely craveable. And I don't know about you, but I have never had this type of product before. Apparently, it has existed out in the world in a much less clean form. But it's such a cool concept, a chocolate-covered potato chip. Yes, please. So without further ado, my conversation with Emma of Emma Snacks. All right, guys, I am here today with Emma Whedon, founder of Emma Snacks, a better-for-you sweet and salty snack company that recently launched with kettle-cooked potato chips dipped in organic and fair trade chocolate. Emma, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited. This is my first ever podcast, so yay! I'm super excited to be here with you.
I love that. Amazing. So before we dive in, Emma, I just want to hear from you. What are you currently hustling for? What is your main priority right now with Emma Snacks?
Yes. So I actually recently got my first production run inventory a couple weeks ago. So I have been selling it online, DTC, and then with indie shops in New York and LA and a couple other locations through Fair. And I'm actually like rapidly depleting my inventory. So my biggest priority is getting my second production run underway. So that is rapidly being worked on, and also scaling in general, like improving my profit margins, taking in feedback from that first kind of like initial run from all of my consumers, you know, sending out surveys, reaching out to them, any kind of points of friction, just really trying to tackle those and getting to like a better experience for my next production runs.
All right. So you are in the validation phase. I love this. Congrats on your current launch. You have been so kind to send me product. And I have to say, your product is like insanely addictive. It's so good. I'm obsessed with the ingredient panel, truly. I love how clean it is. It's amazing. So well done with that, because I feel like a product like this, I can't think of a product, number one, out in the market like this that you can get. And number two, with a panel, with an ingredient panel that like you really can trust. So snaps to that one. Amazing. I love it. Good job.
Thank you.
So we're going to dive in and, you know, get into all things marketing and how you launched. But before we do that, what was life like for you before Emma Snacks?
I live in LA, and I moved to LA like 4 years ago now, which is crazy. Time flies. But yeah, when I moved to LA, I moved here basically because my long-term boyfriend and now fiance works in music production. So I had just graduated college and I was like a year out. I was working a contract role full-time, but in e-commerce. So I knew that I could find another job out in LA in the fashion e-commerce space. So we moved out here and I got another full-time job, which I've now been working at for almost 4 years. and I'm the manager of site operations for DTC fashion company. So that was what I've been doing before and also currently. So definitely building the business after hours and on weekends. So it's been a grind for sure, but I'm super grateful to have that full-time position, and that definitely provides me the stability and also the capital that I needed to kind of be able to take this brand and like put the funds to be able to produce the product, get all the branding, the packaging, that type of thing. So needless to say, it is a little crazy with the hours, but I'm super grateful for both my full-time role and being able to also build and launch this brand in the meantime.
Yeah, having that stability while you're in this like super early phase, I think is really important. So I get it. So tell us about the vision for the brand, and how did you identify that there was a gap in the market or like a white space, or how did you figure out that, okay, I need to do a clean, better for you potato chip? How did that come about?
So the vision really came from a gap in the market between indulgence and intention. I feel like a lot of the times when you're looking for an indulgent product, you either have to find one with like really crazy ingredients, or like it's like a product that could be healthy and it like just doesn't really taste that good. It's like trying to be indulgent.
Yeah.
So I wanted to be somewhere in the middle where you know the ingredients are something that you can trust. Super high quality, very clean, no like natural flavors, no additives, no like seed oils, anything like that. Just pure whole food ingredients and something that just really tastes great and you can lean on and not have to worry about for indulgence. The panel is very clean, as you mentioned. There just wasn't a ton of options out there like that. So especially with chocolate-covered potato chips as my launching SKU, that's something that's super rare, and it just literally did not exist in the way that I built it. So I wanted to kind of take that concept and upgrade every part of it in a way that I felt comfortable, because I myself don't love to indulge in things where I don't understand what I'm eating. It's like unfamiliar ingredients. So just really taking every part of that, you know, and upgrading it with organic fair trade chocolate, avocado oil instead of seed oils, and just focusing in on that quality was really important to me.
And I have personally never heard of or never had a chocolate covered potato chip. My husband actually said that this is like, it's a thing that it exists in out. I think he said like he's had it before at carnivals or something, or at food fairs, but I've never seen it on like a commercial level at a natural grocery store. I'm sure it's out there somewhere. And I can imagine too that this is one of those types of products, if made in a mass way, brands probably cut lots of corners with like the oils and the chocolate. But why do we have to do that? Overcomplicating things and just like adding additional ingredients to get that flavor, but like not really the health benefits, is just such an unnecessary thing. And you do it with such a simple ingredient panel, and the result is incredible flavor, because the product is really sweet and crunchy and salty at the same time, but not overly sweet. It really is so good. So
yeah, it's like a super rich and high quality chocolate.
A handful, like one like small handful is enough. You feel satisfied, but like if you eat the whole bag, you're not going to feel terrible at the same time. So what does year one look like for you?
I feel like I'm trying to get to the next realm of like production quantities, and also refine my packaging. I have a couple verifications that I'm trying to get currently processed in time for a new package as well. So trying to like improve the margins in that sense with a new packaging, a new quantity of production, and yeah, really scaling. But also at the same time, like although this scale is important to me, I want to really like, I don't want to rush through and like just try to get to that scale and then I'm like oh shoot, like there's things that have fallen through the cracks. I really feel like I want to take my time with it at the same time. So it's like, it's not so much of like prioritizing getting there. It's getting there with the stability and the quality and the assurance that I'm not degrading, whether it be the production, the actual packaging, the distribution, the operations, any of that. So yeah. I'm really being thoughtful about the steps that I'm taking to get there and not rushing through it and just trying to get there as fast as I can. Although I am definitely being scrappy to get to that next production run right now.
Slow and steady wins the race, right? And it also takes capital to get there as well too. Building more inventory costs more money. So yeah, you have to pace yourself. You're a self-funded founder. I completely understand. And also, there's nothing really like this out there on the market. So it's not like you have a bunch of competitors like biting at your heels as well to go faster. So I love the slow and steady self-funded model. So tell us about where you're stocked right now. I know you have you're on the shelf at a couple of retailers, right?
Yeah. So right now, my first stock was The Shelf in New York City.
Love it.
Yeah. So Sloan actually reached out to me and she wanted me to come and do sampling. And so I flew out to New York and was there. It was actually 2 weeks ago now. And 95% of the people that came in the store tried my product and they loved it. And at the time when we like first went into the event, I was not actually stocked on the shelf. I was just doing a little sampling event, but people just kept asking, where can I buy this? And I was like, well, unfortunately, we're not on the shelf yet, but we should be hopefully soon. And then throughout that day, like a couple hours later, Sloan invited me to join the shelf because she saw the demand literally on that day. So I had shipped some inventory enough in bulk that I could like give her some to put on the shelf right there and then. So I got my first placement about 2 weeks ago.
Congrats. That's very exciting. I love that. Good for you.
Yeah. And then shortly after that, I got stocked at Last Minute Market in Montclair, New Jersey.
Nice.
And then we also have a location here in LA that ordered through Fair. Potluck Local in
Highland Park. Yeah.
Highland Park. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then a few other locations throughout. We've actually been getting a consistent amount of orders through Fair. So it's been great so far. We are in like about 10 locations at the moment.
Okay. This is amazing. I love this. And are the locations mostly in Southern California from Fair, or are they in other metros, other cities?
They're in other metros, I think like Boston, Rhode Island. Interestingly enough, there's like Iowa and Wisconsin as well. Yeah. So yeah, we're really touching a lot of different markets at this point.
Yeah, this product really lends itself to the Fair marketplace, I think, just because it's such an easy impulse buy. You know, like it's just something that you can snack on and it's just so craveable. So I could totally see it being in these really cute indie gift shops and like specialty stores. Are you going to be on Air Goods or are you on Air Goods?
I have not explored that yet, but I'm definitely open to it. So we'll definitely be tackling that soon.
So talk to us about manufacturing, Emma. I know that you've worked with an incredible group who I am such big fans of, Evolve Food Consulting. What has it been like, this whole commercialization process? I can imagine not super simple because it's never straightforward, right? Talk to us about like when you first started the development process versus where you're at now and like the steps that you had to take and what you had to go through.
I'll start at the very beginning. I had the idea about almost a year ago at this point. And so I was just doing a bunch of research before I really like committed to it and just thought about like the market size and how I could tackle and what the next steps would be. As somebody who worked in e-commerce and fashion, I had no experience in CPG. So I knew I would be having to learn the market and learn like how the process would work and bringing a product to life. I really had no experience. So I tried to kind of tackle it myself at first by just like testing out recipes in my kitchen. And I quickly realized if I wanted this to be scalable and I wanted to build something that I could bring to a lot of different markets, because the main differentiator, although it is clean ingredients, it is also the distribution. As you mentioned, chocolate covered potato chips specifically are not really stocked in a lot of places that you might go currently to find your groceries. It's a very specialty product. So that aspect of it, I knew I would have to start in a scalable way. So I started doing some research on LinkedIn. I honestly did not even know like what
to look for. Yeah.
So it was a lot of just like trial and error and reaching out to people. And I finally found Evolve Food Consultants. And I started to work with them and they brought me through this whole productization project and they led me through ingredient sourcing, co-man, packaging, like really start to finish everything that I would need.
Yeah, they're the best. I have so many clients working with them. Esther and Andrea are just total food science, manufacturing, supply chain engineering rock stars. I love that. And that's how we got connected, actually. Esther introduced us.
Yeah, okay. We went through several rounds of R&D to find like that, the perfect chocolate, the perfect potato chip, the perfect ratio, because there's also a lot with that ratio. If you get too thin, it doesn't look smooth and appealing. But if you get too thick, then it's like you're just tasting the chocolate. There's no sweet and salty balance.
That was one of the surprising things to me is like that you actually can taste the potato chip. To your point, I can imagine that if it's just too thick, it's just chocolate and the potato just completely gets doused by it and the chocolate overpowers it. So the ratio is really nice. You actually do taste the chip and you get that crunch as well.
Yeah, that was really important to me. I went back several times saying this is not the right ratio and we finally got it.
So now it sounds like there's a few tweaks you want to make, but you're ready to start to scale it up a little bit slowly, it sounds like. Is that a straightforward process with who you're working with, or do you have to make additional changes?
There is some changes I could make in terms of like actual co-man facilities. Mm-hmm. There are ways that I could scale more efficiently if I were to explore different routes. But at the moment, my co-man, I have like a great relationship with them currently, and they are also the source of one of the ingredients. So that makes it a lot easier.
Amazing.
And also with my first production run, I unfortunately wasn't able to go on site, which was a little bit of a disadvantage for me, but it was one of their busiest seasons. So I was understanding and working with them and they were able to still provide super high quality first product.
Yeah.
I know a lot of CPG brands go into their first trial production run and they end up coming out with a product that they can't even sell or give anybody.
Yep. I've seen it happen many, many, many times. It's normal. But yeah, you just never know what's going to happen with that trial run. Like it could go really well or it could totally fail. Or usually it's a combination of both. There's lots of failures, but also like you learn a ton, but sounds like yours went relatively smooth considering you've taken that product and launched the brand with it.
Yeah. So the next step of that is getting there on site for my second production run, being able to document it, understanding the process, and being able to take that back and have it as a resource for future scaling in a more efficient way to really get to that next level where I'm able to reach more retailers.
I have a question for you. Are you running in circles every month and stalling yourself out, missing out on sales? You're just like doing endless research because you're trying to figure it all out on your own. Maybe you're confused on how to price your product, how much margin you'll need, if you're going to be profitable. You really don't know how much startup capital you're going to need. You're lost on what to spend and what's reasonable. And you don't have any clue really on how to build an operating budget. Maybe you can't get a manufacturer to answer your emails and you're not sure if you need to spend money on an R&D partner. And then when it comes to retail, you just don't even know where to start. You never successfully pitched to a retail buyer or an investor, and you could really use some guidance and framework. You might not have any clue on how to figure out which channels to launch in and how to determine when it's time to open up new ones. And I know that you really want to launch your brand, but you just don't feel confident that you have the right information and strategy to be successful. So let me help you de-risk your investment. This is what we do in Launch Lab. I guide you through my 4-part framework that teaches you exactly how to launch your food and beverage brand successfully. You'll get a complete toolkit that will take you through the step-by-step process, and you'll have access to a founder community so you can build alongside others who are in the same shoes and at similar stages, where you network inside of our Slack channel. You have access to me specifically in office hours every week, where you come with your questions and I give you real live operator-led feedback. There's 2 ways to join Launch Lab. You can join our live cohort, which happens twice a year in March and in September. These are 10-week cohorts that kick off and run 4 days a week. If you want to get started now and it's not March or September, you miss a sign up, no worries. We have the pre-recorded version running all the time, so you can join at your leisure whenever it works for you. So stop stressing out, start de-risking your investment and getting a real launch plan together. Check out itsallhappeningagency.co/launch-course. So what has been the most surprising thing about this whole process for you? Like, what is one thing you've been like, oh, wow, that was unexpected. I was not thinking about that at all.
I think the most surprising part of the manufacturing process was really the start and stop of it all, especially like early stage when you're just starting out that process. It's not go, go, go. It's more so like, okay, we're at this step and now we have to wait like a week or two to get this sample in, try it, send some evaluations, feedback, and then we can move on to the next step. So that was something that I struggled with a little bit because I'm really somebody who thrives off of like the momentum of the process. So just dealing with that. But I think overall, like the way that I would dealt with that was that along with that process, I was working on the branding and other aspects of the business. So just really being able to take it from that holistic lens and understand, like, although...
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
You've hired professionals that clearly know what they're doing, that have had lots of success and launched many, many brands over the years. Like, you have to trust that they're guiding you and like leading you down the right path. So I totally get that. It's challenging. It's funny that you say that because we were just having in Launch Lab, which is my cohort, which you are part of, we were having that conversation in office hours the other day because several of the founders showed up and they're like, oh my God, I'm in this like initial R&D phase at the very beginning. And this process is just taking a really long time. Like, there was multiple people who showed up in office hours that were just really frustrated by the fact that their formulation and their supply chain validation R&D phase was taking a long time. And it's like, these things take time. Like, you can't really rush food science and you can't rush the sampling process going back and forth with manufacturers. So
one of the biggest things I keep having to remind myself, slow process and like taking things day by day,
yeah,
and just making a little bit of an improvement every day. Although it doesn't seem like a lot, it really adds up. And yeah, that's part of it. I know like on social media, we see all these highlight reels from other brands and they're like, just launched, just got into Whole Foods. Like,
right.
These things that are like, wow, like I would love to do that. But there's so much behind the scenes and a lot that goes into it. And just taking it day by day, you will get there as long as you are consistent.
So just back to the financing part of things, you are bootstrapping this brand. So I would imagine you have invested your savings and, you know, maybe you have some debt financing or credit cards or whatnot. Like, is that scary to you? Or are you, I'm just curious, like what your risk tolerance is. Like, how does that sit with you?
It's definitely scary. It's a lot that needs to be invested. And I think when I started this whole process, I was not aware. You know, it's kind of something that you need money to make money, which is something that people say a lot, but really living in it is a different feeling.
Right. Totally.
Yeah. So it's definitely unnerving, but I have trust in my product and the process. And when you think about the numbers on the screen of projections and margins and things like that, it can really provide clarity in like a long-term way to give you a sense of stability in knowing that you're not crazy for investing this amount of money. And yeah, just really having that belief and the long-term vision and the documentation and operational, you know, numbers to really make sense of it all helps a lot in calming those nerves and giving you trust that you are moving in the right direction and you should be investing into your brand.
So what's the long-term vision goal for Emma Snacks? Obviously, you're a sweet, salty snacking company. So I imagine you aspire to have additional products down the road. Do you aspire to sell the company one day? Like, talk to us about what your vision is.
Right now, I feel like I'm really focused on like building up the brand and the brand awareness and also like the distribution. Long term, I feel like I would love to keep the company and potentially be able to have eventually my kids, which I don't have kids yet, but like over the next few years, I'm thinking about
passing it down to family members. I love that. I get a lot of founders saying that they just want like a fast exit in the least amount of time as possible. It's not too often that people come to the table and say that they want to hold on to the company and pass it down to family members. It makes me excited to hear that.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of the times when brands end up exiting, there can be, you know, parts of the brand identity that get lost. Yeah. And especially with a product like mine, that's really rooted in quality of the ingredients and of the product itself, that would be something that I would be scared of being lost if I were to exit. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, Emma, what is some sage advice that you would give to a founder just starting out today? So if you knew what you know now, when you were just starting, would you have started this business or what type of advice would you give to her?
I feel like I would say start before you feel ready. Don't wait for your product or your brand to be perfect. I feel like you could wait very long and sort of lose momentum. Just really taking those steps of like sharing and maybe, you know, this is something that I feel like I should have done earlier is like joining the community on socials and like really documenting the early process of it all. As I mentioned, I started almost a year ago building this company and I didn't start posting on socials until like 2 months ago. So that's something that I would really advise people to do is like sharing the process, even if you don't have something that you feel might be worth sharing, just building that community from the start is really important. And also getting the product into people's hands and getting feedback and taking those notes back and improving upon it. That's what I would really advise. And just like move faster, trust your instincts. There can be a lot of feedback from different voices. There are a lot of people in the community. So just at the end of the day, trusting your gut and moving forward.
Yeah, absolutely. Where can listeners learn more about Emma Snacks and find you?
Yes. So you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Emma's_snacksco and then online at emmasnacks.com.
Okay. Amazing. Thank you so much. You guys, Emma's snacks are delicious. Highly recommend them. So you have to try. Thank you for joining me and sharing your story. I look forward to seeing the brand grow, and I just can't wait to see your journey as you keep developing the brand and selling into more retailers. So congrats.
Thank you, Danielle. Honored to be here. And if you guys have not checked out Danielle's Launch Lab, I highly recommend.
Oh, you're the best. You're the best. Thanks for that shout out, Emma. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the It's All Happening Women in CPG podcast. It would mean so much to me if you like, subscribe, or share this episode with anyone who you think needs to hear. And if you're launching a brand and you need a CPG strategy advisor, visit my website to check out what we have to offer. I host free workshops from time to time. You have to sign up for emails to hear about those. And you can join Launch Lab, which is our group cohort that teaches you the four critical phases of launching your CPG brand and how to actually execute your launch quickly. We also do one-on-one advising. So if you book a profit plan session, I will assess your product profitability and recommend a package that works for you. You can book a call at itsallhappeningagency.co. You can email us at hi@itsallhappeningagency.co. And follow us on Instagram at It's All Happening Co. See you soon.